One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are moments in life when you know something isn't quite right, but you can't put your finger on it. A feeling, a presence, an intuition that something is out of place. What happens when those fleeting moments, those whispers in the dark, grow into something that can't be ignored? A feeling so thick with menace, it clings to you like the very air you breathe. Sam's story begins with such a feeling, an unshakable dread that takes hold of a young person, forcing them to confront something far worse than they could have imagined. This isn't just a story about an old house, though. This is the story of a force, one that couldn't be explained away by science, reason, or even faith. It's the story of a night when the impossible became reality, and a young person was left wondering whether their mind was playing tricks or if they had truly encountered something far darker than they ever anticipated. What would you do if you found yourself trapped in a place that seemed to swallow all the light, surrounded by shadows that didn't belong? Would you run? Or would you face it, no matter the cost? Let's get to the letter they write. Dear Tony, my name is Sam. I would like to start this story off by explaining a little bit about myself and my background. I was born and raised in Tucson, Arizona, and spent my entire childhood in one house until middle school, when my family moved into an older but nicer house. My parents are very religious, and I was raised to be the same. Looking back at my childhood, I think I've always been a little more sensitive to the paranormal than most, but my parents always explained it away as an overactive imagination or spiritual attacks. These explanations worked for a long time until the night this story takes place. By the time I was entering middle school, my father's job was doing very well, and we moved out of the little subdivision house into a larger custom house. This house was at least 20 years old, but had only had two owners. The elderly couple we bought the house from were very nice, but a little bit off. Nothing too weird, mind you, just a little bit strange. My parents didn't see it, but as soon as I stepped into the house for the first time, I just felt that something wasn't right. It was subtle, but it was there. An unease that I couldn't shake off, like a chill in the air that no one else seemed to notice. I kept telling myself it was just nerves about moving, that it was all part of starting fresh in a new place. My parents were thrilled with the spaciousness of the home, the big yard, and the promise of new beginnings. But as we settled in, the house seemed to quietly settle in with us, almost as though it was alive in a way, waiting, watching. Nothing too unusual happened for a couple of years, though I'll admit I never quite got used to the house. It wasn't anything I could put into words, but I always felt like something was watching me. There was a room upstairs that I avoided, the one where the previous owners had stored all their old belongings. I didn't like going in there. Something about the room felt like it had been untouched for a long time, yet every time I stepped inside, I felt an overwhelming sense of not loneliness, but something darker, something waiting. It wasn't until I was a freshman in high school that I started to notice odd things happening around the house. The old lady who used to live there had some ailment that made it difficult for her to walk properly. The one time I saw her, she was walking across the carpeted living room, and her feet kind of made this scooting sound as she walked because she couldn't lift her feet properly. The way she moved stuck with me, but I never gave it much thought. Until one night when I was up late working on a paper for school. It was about 3 a.m. when I first heard it. The same scooting sound across the living room floor. I froze in place trying to make sense of it. But all I could think was that my parents must have left the TV on or something. I got up, turned on the light, and crept quietly into the living room. But when I turned the corner, the house was still. Everything was as it should be. Quiet, almost too quiet. I checked every room, from the kitchen to the bedrooms, but my parents were all fast asleep and the house was completely still. I didn't know what to make of it at the time, but I felt unsettled. My heart was racing and I couldn't shake the feeling that I had just missed something, something I couldn't explain. The rest of the night was a blur. I tried to continue my homework, but I couldn't focus. I had heard those footsteps. They were too real to ignore. The next morning, like many people do, I just blew it off. I convinced myself it was probably just the house settling. Or maybe I had been too tired. It didn't seem like it was anything to worry about, but for some reason, I couldn't shake the feeling that I wasn't alone in that house. Even though I told myself I was being silly, I avoided the living room at night. After everyone went to bed, I stayed in my room, doing whatever I could to pass the time until I could fall asleep. My room, however, didn't feel like a refuge anymore. It was a small space converted from what was once a storage room. There were no windows, just the single door that led out to the hallway. At night, with the door closed, it was as dark as a cave. To get any light in at all, I had to leave the door cracked just enough so the dim light from the hallway would seep in. Even then, it never felt like it was enough. Due to the previous night's experience, I was a little uneasy about the dark. But despite that, I fell asleep pretty quickly. It must have been the fatigue from school catching up with me. However, I don't know what time it was or what woke me up, but suddenly I was wide awake, every muscle in my body alert. I lay there, still as a statue, trying to figure out what had just disturbed me. I strained my ears, listening for anything, anything out of the ordinary. But there was only silence. The kind of silence that feels like it's suffocating you. I decided to get up to check on things. I don't know why I felt the need to, but something urged me to do it. As I stood and turned toward the door, something shifted in the air. The temperature dropped sharply. It wasn't gradual. It was sudden, like a cold front rushing into the room. Then I saw it, a huge figure, tall and wide, silhouetted in the faint light coming from the hallway. It stood in the doorway. It was at least 1.5 feet taller than me, maybe more, and it radiated something dark. I couldn't put it into words, but it was the kind of feeling you get when you know you're in the presence of something dangerous. The temperature dropped even further. My chest tightened. I couldn't breathe. I could feel a pressure building, crushing my chest like something was physically weighing me down. My throat closed up, and I struggled to get air into my lungs. I couldn't move. It was like I was frozen in place. I felt like I was being strangled by something I couldn't see, something that wasn't supposed to be there. The darkness around it seemed to swirl thicker than the shadows that surrounded me. And as much as I wanted to fight, I couldn't. I have no idea how long it lasted. Everything blurred together. I thought I was going to die, but not just from the fear or suffocation. I could feel it. Whatever this thing was, it wanted more than just my life. Suddenly, as if someone had snapped their fingers, the weight lifted. I could breathe again, and the coldness in the room faded. I don't know how or why it stopped, but it was gone. The room was back to normal, and I was alone again. The only thing that remained were the disarrayed sheets on my bed and a faint red ring around my neck where I had been strangled, though there were no other marks. I turned on every light in the house, hall, kitchen, living room, just to reassure myself that I wasn't losing my mind. but everything was still. The house was calm, and I was left with the lingering fear that something, whatever it was, had been there. And it was waiting. The next morning, I tried to tell my parents about what had happened. I don't know what I was expecting. Maybe some acknowledgement, some sign that they'd at least take me seriously. But of course, they brushed it off. My dad told me I was probably just dreaming, or that it was some kind of spiritual attack, as my mom liked to call it. It wasn't the first time they'd dismissed things like this, but this time felt different. I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't imagining things. This wasn't just a figment of my overactive imagination. But they didn't get it. They just told me it was all in my head. They always said that, and for the most part, I accepted it. But this time, I couldn't. I wasn't crazy. I knew what had happened. The sense of evil that had gripped me in that room wasn't just some strange dream or an overreaction to a bad night. It felt real. I stayed out of my room for a few days after that. I couldn't bring myself to sleep in there. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was waiting for me, waiting to finish what had started. So I slept on the couch, and I kept the lights on, the whole house alight. At night, I would hear things, little noises that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, like footsteps, soft, almost imperceptible, moving through the house. Sometimes I would hear something like a door creaking open or closed, and each time I'd leap to my feet, rushing to check, only to find nothing. The more I avoided my room, the more it seemed like things were happening elsewhere. It was subtle at first, just a few noises here and there. But there was something undeniable about it. The feeling that something was following me, waiting. That coldness, that sensation of being watched, never quite left. One night it happened again. I had been staying in the living room trying to distract myself with TV. The house was still, except for the occasional creak of wood or rustle from upstairs. I was just starting to nod off when I heard it. Those same scooting footsteps from the living room. This time they were louder, more distinct, and this time there was no denying it. It was coming from the hallway, right outside the living room. I didn't dare move. I didn't even breathe. My heart pounded in my chest, the noise growing closer. The house was eerily quiet, the footsteps now unmistakable, just like before. Slow, dragging, the way the old lady had walked, and then just as suddenly as it had started, it stopped. I lay there frozen. I thought for sure that whatever it was had seen me and was about to come in. But nothing happened. No one walked in. No one moved. The silence that followed was deafening. I thought about getting up, checking to make sure everything was okay, but a heavy sense of dread filled the air. I couldn't make myself move. And then, in the dead of night, just as I was about to drift off again, I heard it. The sound of something scraping against the walls, something dragging slowly across the floor in the hallway. But there was no one there, no person, no animal, nothing I could explain. I've never been one to jump to conclusions. I'm not someone who believes in ghosts or supernatural forces. But after that night, I started to question everything I thought I knew. Was I losing my mind? Was this all just my imagination playing tricks on me? Or was something in that house trying to reach out to me? For the next few weeks, I stayed on high alert. I couldn't relax, couldn't shake the feeling that something was coming for me. I couldn't sleep without the lights on, and I couldn't bring myself to be alone in that room anymore. It was as if the house itself was shifting, changing, like it was alive in some way, with a mind of its own. I eventually gathered the courage to return to my room. I don't know why. I had convinced myself that it was all in my head, that the house had just gotten to me. But when I stepped into that room, the air was different. The temperature had dropped again, and the walls seemed to pulse with something ancient, something that didn't belong. That night I lay awake in bed, staring at the ceiling, trying to convince myself that I wasn't crazy. But then I felt it, a pressure on my chest again, not the same weight as before. But it was there, tight, suffocating. I tried to push it away, but it only grew stronger. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. And then, just like before, I felt it. that same presence, that same horrible, malevolent force. I fought to keep calm, telling myself it was just my imagination. But deep down, I knew it wasn't. It wasn't just my mind playing tricks on me. I don't know what happened next. I blacked out. When I woke up, the room was cold, but the pressure was gone. And the house, once again, was still. I can't explain it, Tony. I don't know if it was the house, the spirits of the past, or something else entirely. But I know what I felt, and I know that something was in that house with me. It wanted something. I don't know what, but it wasn't just content with my fear. It wanted more. I don't know what happened to me after that. Maybe I was just lucky. Maybe whatever it was decided I wasn't worth it anymore. But whatever happened, it hasn't returned. Not since that night. Maybe it's waiting. Maybe it's watching. Thanks for taking the time to read this and keep doing what you do. Sam. As we reflect on tonight's story, it's clear that we're dealing with something more than just a series of strange noises and unexplained events. Sam, though dismissing it as a mere nightmare at first, couldn't escape the overpowering sense that something truly sinister lurked in the shadows of that house, and for good reason. The experiences they had were not easily explained away. Scooting footsteps echoing through the living room, an immense figure that appeared from nowhere, a suffocating pressure that threatened to steal the very breath from their lungs. It wasn't just a haunting. It was an encounter with something far darker, something that seemed intent on making its presence known. Now let's pause for a moment and look at this from a psychological perspective. It's easy to chalk up these experiences to sleep deprivation or heightened stress, especially for a young person navigating the turbulence of high school life. But the physical sensations, the coldness, the pressure on their chest, the inability to breathe, are all consistent with what we might call sleep paralysis, a condition that affects many people during the transition between wakefulness and sleep. The mind, trapped in a half-conscious state, may create vivid hallucinations of terror, sometimes in the form of a malevolent entity. It's a frightening phenomenon, but it's also one that science can somewhat explain. Yet there are elements of this story that go beyond the ordinary. The scooting footsteps, the sense of malevolence that never quite left the house. It's hard to ignore the unsettling coincidence that these things seem to have a tangible, almost predatory quality to them. Something that lingered in the darkness, something that didn't feel like just a trick of the mind. And then, of course, there's the unanswered question. Why did the presence leave so suddenly? Was it merely a figment of the imagination, or was it something far darker, something that was perhaps waiting for the right moment to return? We might never have all the answers, but one thing's for certain. The line between reality and the unknown is thinner than we think. And sometimes what lurks in the shadows is not just a trick of the light, but a force that wants to be seen, heard, and feared. As for the house, the story doesn't end here. Who knows what secrets it may still be hiding? What would you do if you found yourself in the same situation? Could you escape, or would the darkness claim you too? That's it for tonight's tale, but remember, the shadows are never truly gone. They may just be waiting for the right moment to step into the light once more. Thank you for listening.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.